Today's daf is Horios daf Yud Beis. We're only a couple of daf away from finishing Horios. We keep falling further and further behind, but that is by design because Horios daf Yud Aleph is very short. We need to leave something to do. Well, it's partially by design at least. We need to leave something to do for Thursday, Bezras Hashem. So we left off in daf Yud Aleph Beis about halfway through the page. We were discussing the concept of the Shemana Mishcha that they used and how it would constantly regenerate itself and it would never run dry, even though by nature it should have run dry long ago. So the Gemara says we're up to Amar Mar, about halfway down the page. Last words on the line are Ben Kohen. Kohen is the last one in line. So Amar Mar, Vafilu Kohen Gadol, Ben Kohen Gadol, Ton Mashiach Minalan. How do I know that a Kohen Gadol, the son of a Kohen Gadol, requires Mashiacha? Dichsiv, HaKohen HaMashiach, Tachtav Mibanav. Name a Krav, HaKohen Mitachtav Mibanav. All the Pasuk really had to say was HaKohen Mitachtav Mibanav. My HaMashiach. What does it add with the word HaMashiach? Kamash Melad, Mibanav, the Kohen Gadol, Yavi Mashiach, Havi Kohen Gadol, Vilolo, Havi Kohen Gadol, that when a Kohen Gadol, son takes over, if he has Mashiach, he's a viable Kohen Gadol. If he doesn't have Mashiach, he's not a viable Kohen Gadol. You need Mashiach even on the next generation. Amar Mar, Ve'in Moshchin Melech Ben Melech Minalan. How do I know that you don't do Mashiach on a Melech Ben Melech? Amar Ravach Bar Yaakov, Dichsiv L'man Yarech Yamim Amlam Lachto. Yerusha Hilachem. The Pasuk says that it's going to be considered a Yerusha. Minalan D'chiyicha Machlokas by Mashiach. How do I know that if there's ever any Machlokas involved, then you do need Mashiach even on a Melech Ben Melech, so that you still need Mashiach, by Mashiach, v'lo called by Malcha, Morus, Malchus, l'bnei, and not everyone who wants to just go ahead and Yarshin the Malchus to his son can do so. Amar Papa, Amar Kra, Hu Ubanav b'kerev Yisrael, Bizman Sheshalom b'Yisrael, Karina Behu Ubanav. Only when there's Shalom b'Yisrael do we darshan the Pasuk, Hu Ubanav, which teaches me v'afilu b'lo Mashiach, that the son can become the king even without Mashiach. We are now about 15 lines up. First one line is Mashiach. Yud Aleph and Beis. We're at the second one in line. Tana. Af Yehu ben Nimshi lo nimshach el mnei machlukasu shel yorim. Yehu ben Nimshi only had Mashiach, again, because he should have taken over, he was the son of a melech, he didn't need Mashiach, really. He only had Mashiach because of machlukasu shel yorim. So frankly, more of a tevigle mishim derishon hu. Why don't we say, no, he wasn't the son of a melech. What are you talking about? It's not true. So chsur mechzer v'achi katani. This is what it really means to say. Malchei beis David meshuchin, Malchei Yisrael ein meshuchin. There's another reason why I didn't need Mashiach. Only Malchei beis David get Mashiach. Malchei Yisrael do not get Mashiach. The Briska Rav in Parsha Shoftim explains the reason that Malchei Yisrael are different than Malchei Beis David in this regard is because he says there are two dinim in Malchus. One is the Minoy LeMalchus, Som Tassim, that you have a mitzvah of being Memana Melech, and that could be by any Jewish person. It doesn't have to be Malchei Beis David. And then aside from that, there's another din of Bechira LeMalchus, of someone who was chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's only by someone who's Kasher Limloch, and was kosher to have his children be Malich Tachtav, and that's only by Malchus Beis David, Al Pi Anavi. So these two dinim of Minoy Melech and Bechira, the Brisk Rav is Medayik from the Pasuk. Pasuk says, Som Tas Malach HaMelech Asher Yivchar Hashem. So the first part of the Pasuk talks about the mitzvah of Minoy, second part talks about Bechira Al Pi Hashem, and that's only when it's a Melech Al Pi Navi, like by David HaMelech. But by Malchi Yisrael, there is no din of Bechira, there's only a din of Minoy. So he says that the idea of the Shemana Mishcha is only from Malchei Beis David because the Shemana Mishcha relates to the Inyan of Bechira, not the Inyan of Minoy. But anyway, Minalan, how do we know that this is true, that the Malchei Yisrael do not get Mashiach? Marav Amakra, Koma Mashcheu Kizeh, V'gomer, Zeton Mashiach, V'inach Ton Mashiach. This one needs Mashiach, others don't need Mashiach. Amar Mar, Af Yehu Ben Nimshi, Lo Nimshach El Mei Machlu Kasso Shal Yoram. Yehu Ben Nimshi only got Mashiach because of the Machlu Kasso Shal Yoram. Umishu Machlu Kasso Shal Yoram, Benachav Nimol B'Shemen. But wait a second, because there was some debate over who should be the Melech, we do Mi'ilah on the Shemana Mishcha, meaning if you don't really need to use it, or we're just doing it to put down the debate and to say, look, we're absolutely certain about this, isn't that Mi'ilah on the Shemana Mishcha? So Gedam Rav Papa, Aparsa Madachya, Hachinami Aparsa Madachya, they didn't use the real Shemana Mishcha, they used some other type of very pure Aparsimon oil, but they didn't use the actual Shemana Mishcha. The Iyun Yaakov asks, why do we say that using the oil would be considered Mi'ilah? Generally, the rule is, in Mi'ila Daf Yud Ches, the Gemara says that in order to be Chayiv Mi'ila, you need to be Choser that which you are being Moel with. So at least the Shavar Pruta, you need to make it worth less less a Shavar Pruta through your usage. But we just got through a Halagadata where it told us that the Shemana Mishcha never went down, that it's the, that it had Yud Beis Lugin throughout, and it was never chasar anything, and it's all still going to be there, Lasa Lavo. So what kind of Mi'ila is there? What kind of cash is the Gemara asking? There's no Mi'ila because you never chasar Shavar Pruta. So the Iyun Yaakov says that the gather of Mi'ila is always Nikvel Lefi Derech HaTeva. That you always have to be Kaveya, the Din, based on the Derech HaTeva, regardless of what actually happens in the end. So even though Enochinami, the volume of oil did not go down at all, but it should have Miderech HaTeva, and therefore it's called Mi'ila. He also answers that something that cannot become Pogum, you get Mi'ila even when you're not Pogim it. The idea of the only getting Mi'ilah when you're pogim something by a Shavar Pruta is only on something that can become pogim. Like a kos shel zahav, she'in darko li'pogim, the Gemara Mi'ilah Daf Yates says that a kos shel zahav, where it doesn't become pogim, you can have Mi'ilah even without being pogim, a kos shel zahav. Ben Yoyada gives a third teretz. He says that who told you how this miracle happened? How do you know that the Shemana Mishcha was never chaser? Maybe you would use the Shemana Mishcha, it would be chaser, and next time you check, it will have regenerated itself. It grew back. We don't know exactly how the miracle happened. There's some discussion in the poskim by Ner Chanukah also. How exactly did the miracle of Ner Chanukah happen? Did we put the oil in the menorah the first day? It burned all the way down on the first day and then regenerated itself? Or did it not do anything for the first 7 days, and then on the eighth day, finally it started burning down, right? That's the Chachma Shlomo on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch in the first page of Hilchas Chanukah says that's why we have 8 days of Chanukah and not seven, because really only 7 days were an ace, but we don't know which day was an ace, because we're not sure exactly how the miracle happened. We're not sure if the Shemen Shel Teva was burning the first day, or if the Shemen Shel Nes was burning the first 7 days, and Shemen Shel Teva was burning on the eighth day. We don't know exactly how the miracle happened, and therefore you have a whether the first day should be Chanukah, whether the last day should be Chanukah. You have Savik Rabban Lekula, Sasri Adadi. So there you have, we're Machmir on both ends. Whenever you can have a Savik Rabban Lekula, it's going to be a Stira, so you're always Machmir. But that's the idea. That's what the Ben Yoyada says over here. We don't know how exactly the miracle happened. Maybe they taka war chaser from the oil, and then it went ahead and it regenerated itself. So if that's the case, you understand very well that it would be Mi'ilah. Ves Yehoachaz mipnei Yehoyakim. We said Yehoachaz also got Meshicha because of Yehoyakim. Shai Yigadol Menu Shtei Shanim. Because Yehoyakim was 2 years older than Yehoachaz. So Marsha asks, according to that, it shouldn't have said, why does the Gemara say Shlomo needed Meshicha mipnei Machlukasa Shal Adoniyahu? Couldn't we just have said Shlomo needed Meshicha because he had older brothers, Adoniyahu, and all the other children of David that happened to have been older? Well, Shlomo, the fourth son of David, right? Shlomo was not the oldest son. So why do we need to give a fancy reason for Shlomo? Pashut, Shlomo needed Mashiach because he had older siblings. Furthermore, when the Gemara is going to ask later on how the younger sons were Melachim instead of the older sons, doesn't it say Vesham Nasan Yaraim Kihua Bukhar? Why don't we ask on Shlomo also? How was Shlomo allowed to take over as the Melech in face of the Gedolim, in face of those that were older? So the Marsha answers because in the Psukim, in regards to Shlomo, it's Furush that Shlomo was humlach al pinasan anavi, that it was based on a nevuah that he took over, and therefore there was no reason for anyone to be choshesh that anyone else deserved it, if not for the fact that someone made a big stink about it and someone in Adoniyahu decided to argue on the whole minoy. But otherwise, al pi anavi, no one would have said anything. So therefore, even though he's younger, it makes sense when it's al pi anavi. So frankly, Gemara umi kashish minei, is that really true that Yehoyakim was older by 2 years than Yehoachaz? Vahaksiv, Pasuk says as follows, Ubnei Yoshio, Yoshio's children were as follows, Habachor Yochanan, Hasheni Yehoyakim, Hashlishi Tzidkio, Harvi Shalom, Vamar Yochanan, Hu Shalom, Hu Tzidkio. The third and the fourth son were really the same person. Tzidkio and Shalom were the same person. But guess what? Yehoachaz is not in this Pasuk. So where's Yehoachaz? Hu Yochanan, Hu Yehoachaz. Yehoachaz is really Yochanan. And what did the Pasuk say about Yochanan? That he was the Bechor. So Yehoachaz was the Bechor. Don't tell me Yehoyakim was 2 years older than Yehoachaz. Pasuk says Yochanan was the Bechor, and we say that Yochanan was Yehoachaz. So the Olim Yoyakim Kashish. So really, no, Yoyakim was older, like we said. And I calls Yochanan the Bechor, calls Yoachaz the Bechor. Umay Bechor, what does it mean Bechor? Bechor Lamalchus. It means that he's the Bechor in regards to Malchus. That's the unique characteristics of Tanakh, that the Bechor is very often not the Bechor. Rabbi, I was on Wayu Torah yesterday, I saw Rabbi Liebtag has a shir. The title was something like, why is the firstborn in Sefer Bereishis never actually the firstborn? Right? So sometimes you have a Bechor that's not actually the Bechor. So I ask the Gemara, Mi Malchi Zuchi Mikamik Shishi, but wait a second, can you do that? Can you have the younger one take over instead of the older one? Vaksiv Esa Mamlacha Nasan Laho Yoram Ki Hu HaBechor. Pasuk says that the Malchus should go to Yahoram because he is the Bechor. So don't you see that the Bechor gets the rights to the Malchus? And says the Gemara, no, Yahoram Mimali Makam Avos. Yoyakim loved Mali Makom Avosav Hava. Yehoram was Mali his father's Makom. He was an appropriate successor. Yoyakim was not. Amamar, who Shalom Utsitkyo, who Yochanan, who Yehoachaz. We said before that Shalom is Tzidkio, and Yochanan is Yehoachaz. So just going on that second half of the statement, we said, the first half of the statement, that Shalom is Tzidkio, the Pasuk said, Hashlishi Tzidkio, Harevi'i Shalom. How can you say they're the same person when the Pasuk said the third son was Tzidkio, the fourth son was Shalom? Doesn't that imply, not just imply, but say explicitly that they're two separate people? So he says, no, my Shlishi, Shlishi Labanim. No, when it says Shlishi, you're right, that's what it means. He was the third son. Umay Revi'i, but you know what Revi'i means? Revi'i Lamalchus, that he was the fourth for the Malchus, he was the fourth one to be Melech, to make Kara Malch Yahuachas, Ulubsof Yahuyakim, Ulubsof Yechan, meaning that he was the fourth one to get to the Malchus. So that's what it means that he was the Revi, but not that he was Revi in terms of order of birth. Tan Rabbanan, who Shalom who Tzidkio? So we say Shalom is Tzidkio. V'lama nikra shmo Shalom. Why would Tzidkio get the name Shalom? Shayu Meshulam b'Ma'asav, because he was complete in terms of his actions. Rashi says Tzadik Gamor Hava Bal Masim Tovim. He was a complete Tzadik, total Bal Masim Tovim. Ikuda Amri Shalom. Others say no. He got the name Shalom. Sheshalma Malchus Beis David B'Yamav. That the Malchus Beis David was completed during his lifetime. Umash Shemo. And what was his name? Mitanya Shemo. His real name was Mitanya. Shenemar. Vayomer Melech Bavel Es Mitanya Doro Tachtov. Vayimlach Melech Bavel Es Mitanya Dodo Tachtov. Vayisov Shemo Tzidkio. That it was Nebuchadnezzar who gave him the name Tzidkio. He took Mitanya. He made him the Melech. And he gave him the name Tzidkio. Amar Leh, and what Nebuchadnezzar was telling him was, Ka yatztik alecha sadin im timrod bi. Look, I'm putting you in place. If you go and you rebel against me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay you back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do righteous justice if you go and you rebel against me. Uksiv v'gam b'melech Nebuchadnezzar marad asher shbiu b'elokim. He didn't help. He went ahead and he was morayed against Nebuchadnezzar. The Marshai asks, how does Rabbi Yochanan know that Shalom is Tzidkio? Why would you explain the pasuk that Shlishi means Shlishi Lebanim, Revi means Revi Lamalchus, if it's so much easier to just explain the pasuk that Shlishi means Shlishi Lebanim, Revi means Revi Lamalchus? So why would you say that Shalom is Tzidkio? What's the motivation? So he says it could be that since the pasuk doesn't tell us anything about Shalom, but it tells us a lot about Tzidkio, so it's more likely that the pasuk wouldn't just skip a whole life story of one of the important kings. So it's more likely that Shalom is in fact Tzidkio. Also, in terms of Nebuchadnezzar, this Shavuah Nebuchadnezzar made him take, Marsha explains that the Dor of Tzidkio was rotly for Gullus, really. And it was only the Zuchus of Tzidkio that he was a tzaddik that saved his entire generation from Gullus. And Nebuchadnezzar tells him, look, up until now, it's your Zuchus that Klal Yisrael is still in Eretz Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be matzdik the din on you, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mekayim the gzeir of galus, should tzidik adin, meaning should do what he really wants to do and do what they really deserve if you also sin. So I'm putting a shvua on you. If you violate that shvua, then you're no longer going to have the zechus to protect your entire generation. That's how the Marsha understands that shvua. So says the Gemara, we have a Shemin HaMishcha. Was there in fact Shemin HaMishcha in the days of Yahoachaz? And it says Yahoachaz was nimshach because of Yahoyakim, because of the machlokas that Yaakov maybe should have taken over. So was there really Shemna Mishka during that time? This was the Bayesheni Vatanya. We have a Braisa, Mishenignas Aron, Nignas Shemna Mishka. When the Aron was hidden away, so the Shemna Mishka was hidden away. Vitzanzenes Aman, and along with that, the Tzanzenes Aman was hidden away. Umakalo Shalar, this Braisa, which is going to be the Kasha, goes for like 10, 12 lines. So you have to be patient. But the Braisa is here to prove that there was no Shemana Mishcha in the days of Yalachas. We're just going to go through a while till we finish this Braisa. So Vatayin, the Braisa is Mishenignas Aron, Nignas Shemana Mishcha. When the Aron was hidden away, the Shemana Mishcha was hidden away, Vitzanzenes Aman, and also the Tzanzenes Aman, Umakalo Shal Aron, Shkedal Pracheha, and the staff of Aron with the nuts and the flowers growing from it, Va'argo Shashalchu Plishtim Doron Yisrael, and the box that the Plishtim sent to Klal Yisrael when they gave the Aron back, when they put the animals to go in any direction, and they walked straight back to Klal Yisrael to bring the Aron back to Klal Yisrael, Shnemer Avizkli Azav Asher Yishivosim Lo Asom Tasimu Ba'argiz Mitzido V'shlachtim Osav Ahalach, right, they took the golden hemorrhoids, that was the gift because of to remind them of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflicted them with while they had the Aron, and they sent it back with this box to Klal Yisrael. So frankly, so the Braisa continues, Mi Gonzo, who's the one that hid all this stuff? Yoshio Melchiyud Gonzo, Yoshiyahu actually was Gonizit during the times of the Bayis Rishon. Yoshio was Gonizit. Sharah Shekasa Batar, because he saw that it says in the Torah, Yol Hashem Aschav Esmal Kachav Gomer, Siv of Gonzum. So he saw that one day Klal Yisrael is going to go into Galus, and we're not going to be near Yerushalayim, and he figured that if we leave this stuff out, it's going to be taken away, where it's going to end up in the Vatican or something. So he went ahead and he hid it. So Shnemer Vayomer Lelvim Amvinim Lekol Yisrael Hakadoshim Hashem Tenuas Aron Hakadosh Bebayis Hashabana Shlomo Ben David Melch Yisrael Ein Lechamasa Because Ivata Ivdu Hashem Elokecha Mes Amu Yisrael Vayomer Blazer. And the Gemara says, how do we darshan that all of these things were hidden? Asya Sham Sham Asya Mishmeres Mishmeres Asya Daros Daros, whole bunch of Gzer Shavas that teach us that they were all actually hidden. But the bottom line is, if Yoshio hid them, so toward the end of the Bayis Rishon, all this stuff was already hidden, including the Shemana Mishcha. So obviously it was hidden from the entire Bayis Sheni, but even toward the end of the Bayis Rishon was already hidden. So how could you say that they had the Shemana Mishcha in the days of Yoachaz to anoint Yoachaz? It was already hidden away. Like we said before, they didn't actually use the Shemana Mishcha to anoint him. They just used a Parsmadachya. They used pure aparsimon oil. That's what they anointed him with. Now there is a Gemara in Meseches Yuma, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, where there's a machlokas whether the Aron was hidden away in the days of Yoshiyahu, or it went with Klal Yisrael into Galus into Bavel. If the Aron was not Nignaz, so then the Shemana Mishcha would not have been Nignaz either. It would have also gone into Galus with Klal Yisrael, because the Gemara over here tries to link the Shemana Mishcha with the Aron. If that were the case, then there's no kasha on how Yehoachaz had Mashiach. He was at the end of the Bayis Rishon. It was after Yoshio HaMelech, but if Yoshio wasn't the one that hid it away, it was only with Galus Bavel that it got hidden away, so then it wouldn't have been a kasha. So you see very clearly that our Gemara is assuming that the Aron was hidden away and not like the other Deya, that the Aron went into Galus. Because if the Aron went into Galus, Shemana Mishcha went into Galus as well. The Rambam says that Yehoachaz was Nimshach B'Shemana Mishcha against the Maskan of the Gemara over here, because the Rambam just assumes that our Gemara is subject to Machlokas. That's what the Karen Aruch explains. The Rambam doesn't paskin like our Sugya. He paskins like the Shita Maseches Yuma that said otherwise, that it went into Galus with them. Now, why would Yoshio HaMelech hide it dafka on the premises of the Beis HaMikdash, right? That's the assumption that he even was Mekadesh the area in order to have the Aron put away deep underground in some sort of tunnel in some excavation under the Makom HaMikdash. So Rav Schechter, this is the piece on the front page of our website, of our current website. Rav Schechter writes in Eretz HaTzvi, B'Shem Rav Salvechik, that the source of all Kedushas HaMikdash is the Aron. A Mikdash without an Aron is not a Mikdash at all. That the Aron is the source for the Kedusha. So he knew that there would have to be a second base of Mikdash, and he knew that if he leaves the Aron around, it's not coming back. So he figured he would put it in a place that it would be on premises somewhere. It would have to be on spot. If it's not on premises, then there's not going to be a Kedusha to the second base of Mikdash. And Rav Schechter suggests maybe the same is true of Kedusha's Pesach Knesses. That Kedusha's Pesach Knesses is derived from the presence of an Aron. If there's no Aron in a Beis HaKnesses, that Beis HaKnesses is chaser in its Kedusha. It does not have its Kedusha. Rav Shechter even went so far as to say that maybe for those shuls, maybe it's a problem that some shuls don't have an Aron like we have over here where it's in the room. They have it recessed into the wall, where it's not really in the room. And he thought maybe that's a problem, because if it's not in the room, then it's not really in the Makom HaMikdash. I always wondered about that, though, because the whole Yesod of the Vard is that Yoshio put it in like a tunnel underground. So that wasn't in the room either, but that's still allowed for the Kedusha to emanate. Okay, maybe the whole Beis HaMikdash complex is considered one area, not sure. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. Ketzad Moshkan Es HaMalachim. How would they do the Mashiach of the Malachim? So Kemin Nezer, they would make like a crown. They would take the oil and put it around the head. And when they would be Moshech the Kohanim, they would do like a key. What's a key? My Kemin key. Amar Rav Menashe Bar Gada Kemin kaf yavani. It's like a Greek kaf. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says what that is. Rashi draws a picture of it. It looks like a ches. Right, they would go up. He describes what they would do. They would start Ben Risei Einav and over the head until they got to the back of the neck, and then go around like a on the second side like a chaf. If you look at the Masoros Hashas on the side of the page, he says no, that's all wrong, and he shows a tsuraso kazeh like an X. They would make an X, but whatever they would do, that's how they would be Moshech the Kohen Gadol. Tani Chada B'tchila Motzkin Shemen Al Rosho V'Achar Knosel L'Shem Ben Risei Einav. First, they would pour the oil on his head, and then they would dab a little oil between his eyes. V'tanya achriti, and another Bryce says, no, but chila nasal Hashem made him say enough. First they will put the oil between his eyes, v'achach moskel Hashemin al Rosh, and then they will put the Shemin on his head. Says, Gemara Tanayi, yeah, it's machlokas Tanayim. Igadamri Mashicha Adifa, v'igadamri Yitzika Adifa. One Shita holds that the Mashicha is the more powerful part of the Mashicha, that the putting it in his eyes, and the other one says, no, the pouring it is the more powerful part. My time in demand yamri tzika adifa. Why would you say the pouring is better? Tichsiv v'yitzok mishemen amishcha al rosh aron v'yimshach chosol dekacho. First it says v'yitzok, then v'yimshach. That which comes first is usually more chashuv. Umand yamri mishicha adifa my time. The one that says mishicha is better. What's his reason for saying mishicha is better? Kasavr shekena tamotze itzok klei sharis. Because it says you find that by klei sharis. V'aksiv v'yitzok. But it says Vayitzok, and then it says Vayimshach. What are you going to do with that? So how could you say Mashiach Adifa? What are you going to do with the pasuk by Aaron? Hachikamar, my tam Vayitzok. Why is it that you are Yitzok? Mishum de Vayimshach. Meaning the Vayimshach paves the way for the Vayitzok. They didn't actually do the Yitzok first. They only were able to do it because they already did Vayimshach, and that which is done first is the more chashuv, not that which is mentioned in the pasuk first. That when Moshe Rabbeinu anointed Aaron with the Shemen HaMishcha, the oil dripped down his beard. And the Gemara Darshins come in Shnei Tipim Margolios HaYutulios LaAaron B'Zikno. That at the tips of Aaron's beard, there were two pearls of oil that hardened and just stayed at the tips of Aaron's beard. So I assume it hardened. It just, there were like two droplets of oil that stayed forever at the tips of Aaron's beard. So Rashi says this means when he would speak. When he would speak, even though normally when a person speaks and they have a beard, so the beard shakes a little, so you would imagine the oil would shake free at some point, he would speak, the oil would stay right there at the tips of his beard. Tosafot Rashi says, no, Mesaper doesn't mean he would speak, it means he would get a haircut when he'd trim his beard. The oil would still, that's more miraculous than when he would speak. He would trim his beard. He wasn't a Chabadnik, I guess. He would trim his beard, and the oil would stay at the end of his beard. So, what would motivate Tosafot Rashi to say that's what Mesaper means and not to speak? Because L'chorev, the whole big deal was that when he would speak, there are greater activities that you do that shake up your beard more than when you speak. What about when you shake your head, when, I don't know, when you dry your beard? There are a lot of things that could have, but there's nothing that should remove the oil more than cutting the beard. So that makes the most sense. That's probably why Tosafot Rashi doesn't want to say like Rashi. But anyway, Moshe Rabbeinu was very worried about this. Maybe I committed Me'ilah with the Shemen HaMishcha because I used more oil than was needed. Just like the dew in Chermon, there's no Mi'ilah, so to the Shemen HaMishcha by Aaron, there's no Mi'ilah. The Eitz Yosef explains that there's no Mi'ilah in the beard, in the oil that's in the beard of Aaron, because it's Kvar Nasas Mitzvaso. That once the Shemen is Nasas Mitzvaso, so that it's not Shaykh to have Mi'ilah anymore. However, there is a Tosfos Masechus Krisos on Daf Zayin that says that kol zman that the shemen is nicker on the rosh of the Kohen Gadol and has not dried up, there's still me'ila on that shemen because it's not considered nasis mitzvah legamri. So maybe you could have argued that that's what Moshe was worried about, that as long as the shemen was still recognizable, he was worried it's not yet nasis mitzvah legamri, and therefore it's still subject to me'ila. V'adayin haya Aaron doeg. Aaron was still worried, even though Moshe Rabbeinu was not worried. Aaron was worried. Amar Shema Moshe Lomal Avlanima Alti. Maybe it's not me'ila on Moshe Rabbeinu's part. Maybe it's me'ila on my part. Yatzabaskal v'amrlo. Hine matov manoim sheves achim gam yachad. The two brothers, you together. Ma Moshe Lomal Avata Loma Alta. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu didn't commit me'ila, so to you, Aaron, did not commit me'ila. The Marsha asks a million kashas here. He has a whole mahalich. I'll just tell you the kashas. The mahalich is too long to go through. He asks, first of all, what's the idea of two tipe margolios? Why two drops? Why that look like pearls? And also, where do you see that in the pasuk at all, that he had two tipe margolios? Also, according to Rashi, that mesaper means that when he would speak with other people, it didn't fall from his beard. So why didn't it fall when he would do greater things in speaking, like we just said, when he would walk, when he would lie down, when as anything? So obviously, that's not a problem according to Tosa Rush, and according to Rashi and Krisos, that mesaper means he got a haircut. Also, he says, that which says that Moshe Rabbeinu was doeg because he was choshish that he had committed me'ila. Did he not realize that it was Maisa Nisim? Did he not realize that it was a miracle that these drops were staying in the beard even after Aaron would speak or cut his beard or whatever? How could he be worried about Maisa Nisim that he committed me'ila? And also, even if the shemen was yored from the head down to the beard, why was Moshe choshesh about that? That it went down on the beard. So what? What's the big deal if it goes on the beard? That's natural for it to drip down. Also, what's the equation between the shemen and the tal chermon that we assume that the shemen and the tal chermon are in some way related to each other? Now, also, he says the lashon of Av Shemna Mishka Shebezakin Aaron Ein Bo Mi'ila implies that the chashash Mi'ila was on the oil that was in his beard, whereas Rashi says that Moshe wasn't choshish for the Mi'ila on the oil that was in the beard. He was worried Shema Naga B'Shemna Mishka. He was worried, Rashi says, that maybe he touched the Shemna Mishka when he got Aaron dressed. So what does that have to do with anything? That seems against the lashon of the Gemara. So Rashi asks all these questions and more and develops an entire Mahalik. We don't have time for that. So anyway, just to let you know that that's out there. Says the Gemara Vayter. Where are we? So Tan Rabbanan, Ein Moshchim, about the fifth wide line. Tan Rabbanan, Ein Moshchim es Hamalachim Ela Ala Mayan Kedei Shetimashich Malchusam. They would only do Meshicha V'Melech by a spring of water as a simin tov, as a sign that the Malchus should extend. Shnemar Vayomer HaMelech Lehem Kuchu Imachem Es Avdi Adonechem V'Aradtem Osol Gichon. Amar Rabbi Ami, Haiman Dabai Leida Imasik Shasi Lo. If a person wants to know if he's going to live out the year or not, Nitli Shargo Basori Yomid Ben Rosh. He should take a candle and put it in a house that no wind is able to blow in the house during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. If the candle extends, then he knows that he's going to live out the year. If a person wants to get involved in a business deal and he wants to know if he's going to be successful or not, he should grow a tarnagol, he should raise a chicken, and if the chicken gets fat and good, then he knows that he's going to be successful. Someone wants to go out on the road and he's not sure if he's going to ever make it home or not. Going on the road was not a simple thing. He should go into a dark house. If he sees the shadow of his shadow, a secondary shadow, then he knows that he's going to make it back home. But says the Gemara, that last one, v'lav milsi, dim l'chashadayte mitra mazle. That last one is not really an effective sign, because it could just be that he got upset, he got worried, and because of that his mazle went bad for a moment, but it's not necessarily an effective sign that he's going to make it back or not. So obviously all the achronim ask the obvious kash over here. This is all one big fat isur daraisa, right? Lo sinachish. You're not allowed to do nichush. You're not allowed to say, if the next car that drives by in the street is a blue one, then I'm going to invest in whatever. And if it's a black one, I'm going to not invest. You're not allowed to make and assume it's possible you're allowed to do that if you understand that what you're saying is totally random and it's not a simon from Shemayim for anything. But you're not allowed to make up your own simanim and just decide, oh, this is going to be... that's what there's so many kashas in Tanakh. Didn't Eliezer, we just read about Eliezer, didn't he also violate Nichlish? He also said the simon is going to be there. So that's what they explained. No, Eliezer was checking for midos. It was logical. It wasn't the magic. It was logical. But all these things, this is pure Nichlish. So the Marsha, there's a whole mahalich over here where the Marsha suggests that it's only Nichlish if it goes in both directions. He has an unbelievable deal. He says, look at this Gemara. Every time it says, you want to know if you're going to be successful or not going to be successful. Raise a chicken, and if it's fat, you will be successful. It never says, and if it's not fat, you won't be successful. Right? It says, you want to know if you can live out the year or not live out the year. Bring the candle. If it's Moshech, you will live out the year. Never says if it's not Moshech, you won't live out the year. So the Marsha says the nature of Nichlish is only when you assume the negative on the negative side. But if it's purely positive, then it's not a problem of Nichlish. And he suggests that's because that Ra doesn't come in Hashemayim. Ra comes as a result of our own sins and removing HaKadosh Baruch Hu from our lives. Ra is the removal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from our lives, is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is distant from us. Tov comes when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closer to us. So he says that Nichlish is only a problem when you do it on the Ra side also, where you're taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the equation. But when it's on the Tov side, where it assumes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement, he suggests that that is not Nichlish. Needless to say, many Achronim strongly disagree with that. That to say that it's not Nichlish to make up your own simanim, where did the Marsha get this Chiddush other than this these couple of lines of the Gemara with this Diyuk? It's very difficult. So they come up with other solutions, possibly. But anyway, the biggest problem is the one that we still do. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Hashadam Ritzimanim Milsi, now that we assume that Simon is a meaningful thing, most of the Achronim understand this is going back on the fact that we're Moshech HaMelech by a water, that's because of the simon. So because simon is a good thing, la'olim yehi ragil l'mechsi b'reishasa karav ruv yakarti v'silk v'tamri, a person should have on his table on Rosh Hashanah all these fancy vegetables, the pomegranate and the fenugreek and the this and that, right? All the vegetables, look in your article Machzor to translate all them, right? The vegetables that we have on the table and the fruits that we have on the table Rosh Hashanah. Interesting, the girsa we have over here is l'mechsi, that a person should see on his table, meaning if he doesn't want to eat it because they don't taste that good, so he doesn't have to eat it. Seeing it on the table is good enough. But if you look in the Masoras Shas on the top, he says Tzaruch Lomar Lemechal, that it really, the girsa really should be Lemechal, that you're supposed to eat it. And Kenis the Bekrisus, and that's the girsa in the Gemara in Krisus, and that's the lashon that's quoted in the Torah in Shulchan Aruch, that it's to eat it, not just to see it. But many of the poskim point out, based on this girsa, if you can't stomach it, let's say the head of a sheep. Someone who has a head of a sheep on his own, or the head of a fish, and they just can't stomach eating it. So, okay, have it on the table, and this way you'll see it, and you don't have to go ahead and eat it. At least it's a kiyum of this Gemara. That's the Simana Milsa. Okay, there's obviously a lot of Torah on that, and why Simana Milsa is not a problem in Nechlish. I'm sure you could find stuff on it. Amla, I think we spoke about it this year. Amla Masharshi Lebrek, Ki Be'isu Meil, Migmari Kami Rabbeichu, Garsu Masnisa Va'alu Kami Rabbeichu. He says, listen, when you want to go to yeshiva, you want to go to your Rebbe, here's what you need to do. Learn all of the Mishnayos before you go to your Rebbe to learn the Gemara. As we just pointed out the other day, that's, you know, with this Masechta, that would have been extremely helpful. The Zvachim, it's also extremely helpful to get your Sodos of Kachim down before you start learning through the Gemaras. V'chiasvisu kamei chazulu pumei. And another thing that's important, when you sit in front of your Rebbe, you should see his mouth. You should be able to see the person who's talking. You should be able to see his facial expressions. You can get a lot from that. Sometimes a facial expression will indicate that the Rebbe was being sarcastic. Sometimes it will indicate that he wasn't so excited about a certain vart, that he was very excited about a certain vart, and you're not going to pick up on that. You're not going to pick up on the nuances if you're not able to see him. So as great as Torah on the internet is and everything else, and listening to, you know, audio shir and whatever, it is nothing like being able to actually hear a shir directly face to face from someone. That's what the pasuk says, that you should see Marecha, you should see your teachers. I'm trying to convince the yeshiva and DRS to use our video conferencing technology for sure. We use it for our hockey games, so the boys can log on to the internet and watch hockey games. So we're trying to get that for Shiram also. So they said, what do you need it? You can just listen. What do you need the video? No, you need that too. So garsu al nahara demaya. And when you learn, you should always try to learn near a river. The chihechi demashkan maya mashkan shmei tzaychu. Because the same way the water continues to flow, so too your learning should flow. It's an interesting vart about how learning works. works, that you start with one thing and then just the next thing flows after that, and that, and before you know it, you have a whole river of thoughts and of Torah that extends. And it's better to go sit by the garbage dump in Masa Mechasya rather than by the palaces of Pumbedisa. Tov galdan nasarya. And it's better to have a little these little putrid fish of Masa Mechasya more than the kutach, which was a chash of a meichel. Didn't sound chash when they described it in the Gemara Pesach. It was like old stale bread with spoiled milk, but still it was apparently very chash of a meichel. So it's better to have the little fish of Masa Mechasya than this chash of a meichel of Rami Kippi, because Masa Mechasya was a makom of Torah. Rama karni belokai, Rama karni velo Rama pachi. So it says the keren and not the pach. So what would the oil be held in? It could have been held in a pach. So David and Shlomo shenimshchu bekeren nimshchu malchusim. But that's an indication that since David and Shlomo they had their meshicha with a keren, the oil that was nimshchu them was held in a keren, so that's why their malchus extended. Shol v'yehu shenimshchu b'pach, lo nimshchu malchus. And Shol and Yehu, who were nimshach out of a pach, their malchus did not extend. Hamashov b'shem nimshchu ton rabbanan, Mashiach yachol melech. So I might have thought that Mashiach refers to the melech. Tam lomer kohen. That's why Pasuk says kohen. E kohen yachol merubah begadim. If it was the kohen, I would think any of the kohanim gedolim, even if it was just merubah begadim, even if you never had a mashiach, tam lomer Mashiach. E Mashiach yachol meshuach melchama. Well, if you just have the word Mashiach, I would think that it's talking about the Mashuach Melchama. Tamalomar v'akoyin haMashiach. She'enu Mashiach al gabav. That there's no one else that's Mashuach that's in a higher position than him. My mashma, where do you get this idea that haMashiach means that there's no one that's in a higher position of Mashiach than him? Kedam Rava, hayerech. The hay does that. When it refers to the yerech of the korban, it means the miyumenesh shabiyerech, the better one. Hachanami hamashiach hamiyuman shabimashuchim, the better of the mashuchim. Amramar Mashiach yachol melech. Mashiach, the word Mashiach alone, I might have thought it refers to a melech. Melech paru demaisi, siru demaisi. What do you mean? What havamin is that? That if it, when the pasuk talks about the par kohen haMashuach, that it's actually talking about the melech? What do you mean? The melech, we already know what is karbanos sar. He brings a par, he brings a sayir. Why would I think that that it relates to the melech? So itzrich. No, this is what I would have thought. Salket aitachamin al shigas maisi yavi sir al helm davri yavi par. I might have thought that the karbanos that we list for the melech, that's when it's only shigas maisa. But when there was an erroneous psak as well, then he should bring those karbanos that we list for the kohen gadol. So that's why it comes telling me kamash mulan that no, that the melech's karbanos are for shigas maisa for the melech alone. Kohen gadol's karbanos are for the kohen gadol. The melech does not bring the kohen gadol's karbanos. Ein bein mashuach b'shem na mishcha. The mishnah went on to say that there are no differences except for the par between he who is Mashuach b'shem haMishcha and he who is Mashuach b'ribur begadim. So Mashis and Delok Rav Meir, our mission is going against Rav Meir. Di Rav Meir, Hatanim Ru begadim mevi parabal kol mitzvah siv Rav Meir, v'lohodilo chachamim. According to Rav Meir, a merubah begadim does bring the parabal kol mitzvahs. Don't tell me that the difference between someone who's Mashuach b'shem haMishcha and someone that's merubah begadim is the par. According to Rav Meir, that's not a difference. That's a similarity, and the Chacham didn't agree with that. My time to Rameir, where did Rameir get this din? The Tanya Mashiach, only on the Mashuach B'Shem Namishcha. I only know from there someone who's Mashuach B'Shem Namishcha, Merub B'Gadim Inayin. How do I know about a Merub B'Gadim as well? Tamalomar Akoyna Mashiach, B'mayu Kimta, K'Rabbanan. So what do we say? That our Mishnah is going like the Rabbanan. Eima Seifa, but then if you read the Seifa of our Mishnah, it says, Ein Bein Kohen Mishamish, the Kohen Sha'avar, El Apar Yom HaKippurim HaSir Seifa, that it says the only difference between the Kohen Gadol that's currently serving and the Kohen Gadol that had taken over and is now no longer serving because the original Kohen Gadol came back, is the Par Yom HaKippurim and the HaSir Seifa. That line that assumes that the Kohen Sha'avar and the current serving Kohen are the same, other than those two issues, is assuming, Asan, the Rav Meir assumes like Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara's kasha is going to be, how can you say that when the Mishnah says that the difference between a Kohen Mashuach and a Kohen of Merubah Begadim is the par that's going against Rabbi Meir, but then when the Mishnah talks about and compares a Kohen Sha'avar with a Kohen that's currently serving, with a Kohen that served for a while, that line of the Mishnah is going to be going like Rabbi Meir. Till we get to that question, it's going to take a few lines. So detanya, because we have a b'risa, irbo psul b'Kohen Gadol. Gadol. Va'avaru minu kohen achar tachtav. There was a psul in the kohen Gadol. They had to go and appoint another kohen in his place. Harishon chazal avodasa. So when the first one comes back, he's over his psul, so he goes back to his avodah. Vasheni kol mitzvos kuna alav de Remeir. And Remeir holds the second guy has all the mitzvos kuna. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rishon chazal avodasa. Vasheni en roi lol kohen Gadol lol kohen hedyot. No, the second guy is not roi for anything. He can't serve his kohen Gadol, nor is a kohen hedyot. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Maisa b'Yosef ben Ilim mitzipuri. There was actually a Maisa with Yosef ben Ilim from Tzipuri, she'iru bo psul b'kohen Gadol, that there was a psul in the kohen Gadol, va'avaru minu achar tachtav, and they had to appoint someone else in his place, v'loi nichu achar v'konim lios lo kohen Gadol, v'lo kohen hediot. And when the first kohen came back, they didn't allow this guy to serve, neither as a kohen Gadol, nor as a kohen hediot. Kohen Gadol mishum eva, They didn't allow him to serve as Kohen Gadol because of Eva, Kohen Hedyot, Mishum Malam Makadosh, Vein Moridin. They weren't allowed to serve as a Kohen Hedyot because of Malam Makadosh, Vein Moridin. How could they let him be a Kohen Hedyot after he was a Kohen Gadol? Bottom line is, though, Reisha Rabbanan V'Sefer HaMeir, in our Mishnah we have a problem. The Reisha where we compare the Merubah Begadim to the Meshuach B'Shem HaMishcha is going like the Rabbanan and the Sefer where we compare the Kohen Sha'avar and the Kohen Mishamesh is going like Reb Meir. So how can we assume that the Mishnah is Soser itself? Three solutions. Number one, I'm Rav Chista in Reisha Rabbanan V'Sefer HaMeir. Not the end of the world. Sometimes you have two Tanaim that are sandwiched together in one Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef Amar, second solution, No, the Mishnah is written by Rebbe. Rebbe happens to stick in a machlokas tanaim in his Mishnah. He happens to stick in the shitos of two different tanaim in the Mishnah. But the Mishnah, the author of the Mishnah, is Rebbe. Rav Amar, third solution, Rabbi Shimon he. No, we're assuming like Rabbi Shimon, who half agrees with Rav Meir, half disagrees with Rav Meir. He agrees with Rav Meir, obviously, about the Kohen Sha'avar issue. He disagrees with Rav Meir about the Merubah Begadim issue. Titania Dvarm Shemin Kohen Gadol Kohen Hedyot Elu Heim. What difference is there between the Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedyot? Here are the differences. Parabal Kol Mitzvos, Upar Yom HaKippurim, Vasira Se'efa, V'lo Parei V'lo Parim. All these halachas only apply to the Kohen Gadol. Aval Hu Parei Milamata V'Hedyot Milamala. In fact, when it comes to tearing Kriya, the Kohen Gadol tears from below, the Kohen Hedyot from above. Ve'in Mitamil Krovim, can't even become Tamatir relatives. Muzral Basula, V'asa Ba'almana, has to only marry Basula, can't marry an Almana. Maxer Sarotzeach, when he dies, the Rotzeach goes free from the Ermiklat. Makrav Onein, Ve'ino Ochel, Ve'ino Cholek. He could be Makrav a carbon as an Onein, he just can't eat to split the carbon. Makrav Chelik Barosh, V'notel Chelik Barosh. Whenever he wants to be Makrav a carbon, he can throw out whoever's turn it is and say, look, I'm taking over. And he also takes the Chelik Barosh when they're dividing up the meat. Umeshamish Bishmona Kelim, and he needs eight. The eight big day kuna gadola, the kol avodas yom kippur mein ekshera elabo. Avodas yom kippur is only kosher with the kohen gadol. Upata altumus mikdash kadashav. He's pater for kabbard ol viorid and tumus mikdash kadashav. V'kula nogin b'merubah begadim, and all of those things are true of a merubah begadim as well. Chutz mi par, maybe I'll call him mitzvahs, except for the par. So you see that Rabbi Shimon holds that like Rabbi Meir on that issue, that the difference between like the Chacham rather on that issue, the difference between Merubah Begadim and Kohen Meshuach is the par. I'm sorry. The other way. V'kula nogin v'mashiach shavar chutz mi par yom kippur v'asir seifa, and all of them are noig on the mashiach shavar as well, except for the par yom kippur v'asir seifa. V'kula ein nogin v'mashuach melchama chutz v'heidvar mamur parsha, and none of those things apply to mashuach melchama except for the five things that it says in the parsha. Lo parev lo parimir mitamil krov musal b'sur v'asal b'almanu makser rotzeach. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. V'cham romeinu makser l'cham says not makser the rotzeach, but that price is assuming like Rabbi Shimon, and you see within that brisa, both shitos that are expressed in our Mishnah, both the difference between the Merubah Begadim and the one who's anointed B'Shem and Mishcha being about the par, that the one who's Merubah Begadim does not bring the par. So you see in that brisa it says that way explicitly, which is against Rabbi Meir, and the chiluk between the Kohen Mishamish and the Kohen Sha'avar, right, which is like Rabbi Meir. So that brisa is authored by Rabbi Shimon. You see Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Meir partially, doesn't hold like him partially. V'hai mimayd Rabbi Shimon, how do you know that brisa is going like Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon is the one that holds that you potter on tumas mikdash kedashav, that you don't bring carbon all of your rib. That's how we know that price is going like Rabbi Shimon. So that's all part of the third answer of how we could have two different shitos of tanaim in our Mishnah. We say no, it's all the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, who happens to pass like Rabbi Meir on one issue, doesn't pass like Rabbi Meir on another issue. Okay, but the Shem will continue from there tomorrow.